I'm Bing Crosby.
Hooray for the wine bar!
Yeah, drag out the cooking sherry for the old colonel.
Thanks a lot, Bingo. I tell you, I really appreciate something a little stronger than cooking sherry. I got a call a couple of days ago from my friend O.J. Brulette, and he was down in New Orleans with the Mardi Gras. Yes, he was. He says, Colonel, I'm having a great time. I'm going to have a hurricane for you. I said, well, if you're having a hurricane for me, you're going to have two, okay? Because that's what it's going to take. Anyway, welcome back to the second half hour. I'm your host, Colonel Mason. In this half hour, we have Dr. Krishna Shenoy. He's a professor of electrical engineering and computer sciences at the University of Toledo in Ohio. And he says that there's no reasons for our computers to overheat. He said it's all because the DC connections within our units of our cell phones and our computers is inefficient and is causing all this heat, and we can get rid of it. And he's going to explain to us in just a little bit how that's going to happen. And, of course, at the end of the program, list your comments to the Voice of Reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information and hear today's query.
Welcome to the fountain of youth. Information. How can I help you?
Okay, oh spirit of the fountain, glad to have you with us. I have a very intriguing question for you today. We want to know what Middle East city is home to the Hill of Evil Council? A Middle East city home to the Hill of Evil Council. What is it?
I have given you my answer. And now you may tell the others.
Aha! Once again, the spirit of the fountain comes up with the right answer. The Middle Eastern city that's home to the Hill of Evil Council? Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Old Jerusalem. Well, now get back to our guest. At this time, we're fortunate to have with us Professor Krishna Shenoy. Dr. Shenoy is a professor of electrical engineering and computer science at the University of Toledo in Ohio, and for more than 25 years, and while employed at General Electric Research Center, Dr. Shenoy made seminal contributions to reliability-driven power technology development. And he's best known for pioneering contributions to silicon power and demonstrated power switching performance approaching silicon limits. So welcome to the program, Dr. Shenoy.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be on this program.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you. Now, I understand you're going to be making a presentation at the IEEE Green Technology Conference in Baton Rouge that's being held the 14th and the 15th of April. And what is it that you're going to present at that conference?
I will be presenting a paper based on the work performed by one of my graduate students, Mr. Kushal Shah, who is actually here with me. He's listening to this interview.
Mm-hmm.
And the paper will discuss new technologies that are being developed to increase the energy efficiency of DC to DC power converters.
So let me see what I think I understand is that the DC to DC conversions or the connections that you're talking about, the batteries are lasting longer nowadays, not just because we have better batteries, but because we are getting less loss in power when we're converting from one DC circuit to another DC circuit and coupling and that sort of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. We get less loss when we convert one DC voltage to another DC voltage inside these devices. And also, we provide the right amount of power at the right time. That's called power management. We don't provide the same amount of power all the time and waste it. So we provide what we call intelligent power. We provide right amount of power at the right time for various loads within these devices.
Well, that leads me to another question then, Dr. Shenoy. Computers notoriously get very hot. And I'm told that the big enemy of computers is this heat, and they have to be kept below 80 degrees in most settings. And will this efficiency then cut down on the heat that is put out by computers?
Yeah, that's a very important reason, we need more and more sophisticated DC to DC conversion technology. To give you an example, internet data centers, which house high-end computing servers that provide the backbone for the internet that we use every day, they generate, these data centers generate enormous amount of heat. In fact, industry at one point was thinking about immersing these data centers under the ocean. Now what is happening there again is you need to convert DC to DC, but at much higher power outside the computers, but inside the computers you have again microchips, you have to provide power to various microprocessors. So that is again DC to DC conversion. So there is a lot of different stages of DC to DC conversion at various power levels and various points within a given electrical circuit. You are absolutely right, reducing the heat in a laptop or a personal computer or a bigger server or data center is a prime goal, because you have to, once if you generate the heat, then you have to cool it to make the computers work. So you lose energy for cooling also and thermal management. So reducing the heat is a major, major goal in industry.
So the am I to understand then the platform for this is what you're referring to as the DC microgrid? Is that correct?
Yeah, that is one area that I am working on. And you are referring to a new concept of electricity transmission and distribution that is just emerging. If you remember, more than 100 years ago, when Thomas Edison first tried to transmit the electricity, he tried to transmit the DC form of electricity, but he was not able to do that for a long distance because it was very lossy. Then came Nikola Tesla, and he used transformers to convert the DC form of electricity to an AC form, and then transmitted it long distance with the lower losses by stepping up the voltage to very high voltages. And at the other end, at the same time, he invented the induction machine, which used AC electricity to run, and the rest is history. For the last 100 years or so, or more than 100 years, we were stuck with the AC electric grid for most of this country. Because of this reason, and the entire industrialized world for the last century more or less relied on this AC electric grid. But as you know, this has become such a huge monster, and we have had many blackouts in the past few decades. Because every this grid is not only 100 years old, just like highways, which are, you know, we are trying to build new highways, we need to build new grid, because this grid is over 100 years old, and it's overloaded, very unreliable, and more people are trying to tap electricity from this grid. So we need a new form of electric transmission and distribution infrastructure. Now, having said that, with the emergence of renewable energy sources such as the solar photovoltaics, wind energy, fuel cells, and so forth, we have now new opportunity to implement new form of electricity transmission and distribution infrastructure. What is interesting to note is most of these renewable energy generation sources produce DC electricity. A good example is solar. Solar output, solar panels produce DC voltage.
Yes.
So is the fuel cell. Now, wind turbines, they produce highly unpredictable sort of erratic form of electricity, which first needs to be stabilized and converted to a DC, and then converted to a more stable AC and fed into the AC grid.
Okay.
So in other words, it needs to be converted to a DC before it is fed and converted to an AC and fed to the electricity grid.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the renewable energy sources produce DC electricity. Why not use this DC electricity right away? So that is one issue. Now the second thing, if you notice, you let's say most of the consumers of electricity in our household, starting with lighting, computing, telecommunication equipment, and heating, ventilation, and so forth, they all actually require the DC electricity first. And most of these appliances, they call it energy-saving appliances, they have a DC bus inside, and then that is converted to an AC to provide what they call adjustable speed control to save the energy. So again, there is a DC conversion and then to AC conversion. So there are multiple conversion where we lose a lot of the energy. So what I have been doing, and there is a strong advocacy for this now, and a lot of people are also working, why not use locally, instead of doing long range transmission, use locally the renewable energy sources, but use DC directly now. So there is a new industry alliance, is called Emerge Alliance, that has come out, and a lot of companies are beginning to produce new kinds of equipment that can be used to directly use the DC. For example, you can today buy a control box from a company called Next Tech Power in Detroit, with whom I work.
Okay.
To this box, you can actually connect solar panels, and it also has an option to connect battery, so when the solar energy is not used, you can charge the battery.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is excess energy, or then you can put an inverter and feed it back to the grid. Now, if solar energy is not available in the night, for example, or if the battery is completely discharged, you need to draw power from the AC grid. So they also have an option to do that. Now, one thing we must keep in mind is when you use a DC distribution in your house or in a commercial building, you cannot use very high voltage, like 110 volt. It's not very safe.
Mm-hmm.
So the Underwriter Lab has come up with a new certificate where you can implement 24 volt DC distribution line in your household. It is UL approved. So this control box, for example, sold by Next Tech Power System, converts these renewable energy sources like solar or fuel cell into DC output, and then provides a 24 volt output that can be used to power lighting, computers, and so forth. Also, if you, one thing I must mention, that the days that we used incandescent lighting are slowly going away.
Okay.
Because incandescent bulbs are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Not very reliable, they don't last long, and also they consume a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a mandate from US Congress to use fluorescent lighting for new buildings that will be built beyond 2012. So we will increasingly see fluorescent lighting and no more incandescent bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
Now the fluorescent lighting, another area that I work, can be directly powered from DC. Fluorescent lighting is also going to slowly, in about 5 to 10 years, slowly going to be changed into what we call the semiconductor lighting, light emitting diode or LED,
mm-hmm.
because those are even more efficient and cheaper eventually, and also long lasting. And those are directly powered from DC. So, to make long story short, everything in a household or commercial building can be directly powered from DC. So, probably a good option is to not to try to convert the DC output from renewable energy sources and invert it and feed it to the grid. Rather, use it to design these new systems to such a way that you use all of that energy locally. So I see that we would have new kinds of houses will be built, new kinds of commercial buildings will be built, and new communities that will develop, that will try to have their own energy sources, like solar arrays and wind turbines or fuel cells. So they will minimally use energy from the AC grid in the future. So there is a big push as we speak for what I call a DC microgrid for residential, commercial, and community applications.
I see. So the DC microgrid would actually be self-contained in a particular building or a particular area of let's say a city that maybe was localized to the energy source of wind or solar or whatever it happened to be. Is that right?
Yeah. So, well, right now most people are trying to make money. They put solar fields and try to generate electricity and invert it and feed it to the grid because they're trying to make money. And utility companies like that because it fits into the existing infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But the smart way to do this is actually locally use that DC directly, because that will be much cheaper, more reliable, and then you will be self-supported. Obviously, a lot of utility companies may not like that because that will be, less business for them. But that is the correct. I see that as probably the right way to utilize the renewable energy in the future.
Well, then, do you see then the eventually that we will be completely done away with the antiquated electrical grid as we know it today, with these strings of wires all across the country and all these telephone poles and everything like that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I am. I see a scenario like that, but it may not happen tomorrow. It will take time. There is a mandate in most of the nationally and many of the states to have at least 25% energy by 2025 coming from renewable energy sources. Now, to provide that much energy, if we just try to rely on the existing grid, is not going to be so easy. For cost, infrastructure stability, and security, and so forth. So, as I said, the existing grid is overloaded, and it is very fragile, and it is very inefficient.
How does this jive then with what's happening right now with the efforts to make a smart grid? It would seem like if we're going to do away with the grid, why go to all the problem that it takes to initiate a smart grid?
Well, that's a good question. Now, obviously, you can't make this new thing happen overnight. We have to live with what we have today, so make it more efficient, smarter. That's what the smart grid is doing, making the appliance more energy efficient and make it more smarter and so forth. But probably in my mind, maybe the more efficient and right way to do it is to locally, directly use the renewable energy. But this would require a lot of hurdles to overcome, both policies, regulations, and other kinds of, hurdles that we have. But I see that is another alternative way that things are happening. The central point here is that we need to minimize energy conversion stages in any kind of generation, distribution, and utilization of energy. And if possible, we should try to use directly the renewable energy in its form it's available, which is mostly DC, and then most of the loads can be powered with the DC. So there is a need for more and more efficient DC to DC converters. This requires again new semiconductor technology, so that's exactly what I'm developing, new semiconductor technology based on gallium nitride and silicon carbide, because silicon has run out of steam in terms of energy efficiency and miniaturization for power. So we are working on new types of semiconductors and new types of energy conversion, DC to DC conversion chips, and that's what I will be presenting at this conference.
Is any of the things that you're doing involving nanotechnology in any way?
Well, if you say nanotechnology, everything is nanotechnology, but to most people, nanotechnology would refer as carbon nanotubes and, those buzzwords. But what I'm doing, truly speaking, is also nanotechnology, because we try to control the semiconductor at the atomic level, but in the true sense it is really microelectronics. That's what we are doing.
Well, Dr. Krishna Shenoy, Professor of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science at the University of Toledo in Ohio, we're going to look forward to seeing you at the conference on in April 14th and 15th in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And thank you so much for being with us today. This is truly some inspiring concepts you delivered, and gave me a whole new slant on things. This DC microgrid certainly is a fascinating concept. So thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm excited to be looking forward to attending the conference.
And now we make time for the Voice of Reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
While we're sort of working on kind of this cutting edge of science and trying to understand really difficult things about the universe, I always find that astronomy is incredibly exciting to kids. I always enjoy being able to talk to them and to teachers and get them excited, because I always find that whenever you talk to an engineer or a scientist later on, when I talk to them or to students, they've got excited about science really early on, and it's usually paleontology or astronomy that's done it. And so I think that it's very, very important, and we have a huge outreach program at McDonald Observatory sort of centered around this, just to keep the message going out that science is exciting, and that even though it may seem hard to do math and science at school, you really, really, by staying with it, have endless, very interesting opportunities to use that knowledge, not just to become an astronomer, but you could become a physician, an engineer, all kinds of things. And so this country needs more great engineers and scientists, and I really hope that we can inspire kids to stay with it and be interested. This is Gary Hill. I'm a research astronomer at the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, Texas.
So you decide, has this really been the Voice of Reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.